memories of family and friends. It is just so good to be alive. Any amens out there, just kind of clap your hands. Thank God for another day of his immense mercies. We're going to talk a lot about his grace and mercy today. I'm just thinking about, you remember when you're in school, at least I remember as a youngster, and we had this game called Follow the Leader. You see my ducks up there. And it was fun because wherever the leader went, we had to go also. And we're going to deal with that following process today. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for following the Lord, following just his mandates in your life, his mercies, really not taking that for granted. You have been such an integral part of Ebenezer, and I just want to thank you for that. Lord, it's just blessing us tremendously. As you know, on our website, ebcnc.com, we've got so many things that are going on to just edify us on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and we got an in-person service on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. The Lord is just doing wonderful things. We thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. I just praise the Lord for people who have hearts of generosity. I was listening to a minister teach on generosity and just the fact that that's what Jesus has done for us by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and resurrection. He gave it all. He was generous. So thank you for being cheerful givers. Thank you for supporting what God is doing at Ebenezer. And it's not just here on the corner, but guess what? He is using you. He's using us to reach so many others that you may not know of, changing lives. And I just thank the Lord for all that he's doing. Well, I am ready. I am ready to get into the Word. I am ready to get back teaching on Renew Our Mind, because we need more of him. So I want you to prepare your heart and get ready. We'll see you soon.
So at First Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, Paul writes and says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience in hope of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning among us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, who delivers us all from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name we say, amen.
Amen. I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside. Study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more. wide roof down by,
down by the river side,
down by,
down by the river side,
down by,
down by the river side.
I'm gonna put on my long wide robe down by,
down by the river side. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
I ain't gonna
study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
I'm gonna meet my loving Savior down by,
down by the riverside,
down by,
down by the riverside,
down by,
down by the riverside.
I'm gonna meet my loving Savior down by,
down by the riverside. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by,
down by the riverside,
down by,
down by the riverside,
down by,
down by the riverside.
I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by,
down by the riverside. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna
study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more.
I pray that you're ready to get back into our topic of renew your mind. I'm telling you, it's been challenging as we've been going through our days. I know that you've had pressures in your life, but God has gotten us to this place, and that's why it's so important to have God's word to edify us or build us up. Remember our memory scripture. I want you to go to Romans 12:2, and we've been reading this into our minds so it can seep down into our hearts, because we need it. It has to be pulled up quickly by the Holy Spirit in our everyday activity. So if you got all your notes, all your information there, I want you to read this with me, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm telling you, it's challenging, but that's why God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we renew our mind, we become more like Him. Before we go any further, I'm going to ask you to please just go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for who you are, for your immense grace and mercy in this season and this time, Lord. We need you. We need you. Lord, I just welcome your Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher and guide and lead us into all truth. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, Lord. And if there is anyone looking on that's not saved, I pray that today be their day. that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, teach us how to renew our minds in you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you were with us on last Sunday, at the end of that message, I told you, come back this Sunday because we were going to finish out a portion of this chapter. And so I want us to go back to John chapter 21, and I want you to look at that 18th verse, John 21 and 18. I do want to encourage you as we go through these scriptures today that we are going to really be focusing in on Peter. Peter had denied the Lord three times, not just once. Three times, and he's having to deal with this. But I want you to know, no matter what you've done, God is a forgiving God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's jump into this. John 21:18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, that's Peter, follow me. I want to speak from a subject today. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. I've got a picture of ducks in a row. I remember even as parents, we would often go shopping and we would just kind of line up little ducklings by age and height. It was so precious in those seasons and times, but our kids had learned to follow the leader. If I wasn't there, we had taught them to stay close to their mother. And it's the same process as we're renewing our mind. We're really being taught how to stay close to Jesus in all situations and circumstances. Time frame again, 33 AD. This is after the resurrection, where Christ has shown himself over and over again that he is alive, he is well, but he has to deal with some heart issues amongst his disciples and especially Peter. From last time, we were in John 21:14. That was our focus scripture. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And that title was Learning Through Repetition. Some points in review just kind of help us to process it a little bit. Are you willing to see? What are you focusing on? We need a word from the Lord. Revelation. He keeps on blessing so much more. And commune with Christ. As we transition, remember, Christ met them on that Sea of Tiberias on the shore, and he told them to cast their net on the right side where they were able to catch fish after they had toiled all night long. They finally get to the shore. Peter swims to the shore, and Jesus already has fish and bread prepared for them. And at that moment, they realize this is truly the Christ when they received a word from him when they were on the ship. And now they're able to commune with him and to eat with him. We pick up John 21:15 as they're sitting around the fire and they're partaking together. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Isn't that heavy? I'm going to read that again. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? I can see as he's focusing in on Simon and the other disciples are kind of in the background at this point. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Here's the first point. How much do you love Jesus? Yes, how much do you love Jesus? Now, this is critical. Remember, we introduced Peter is still dealing with his public denial, not just one time, not just two times, but three times. Some of you out there, you know that there have been times in our lives that we failed God, not just once, twice, three times, four times, five times. But aren't you glad for a gracious and kind and loving God? There ought to be some amens in the chat just to take us in spite of our issues. It's often been pointed out within this scripture, as you would read it in the Greek, that there are actually two forms of love that are signified within this scripture. Theologian Wilkinson brings this out. It says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these other disciples love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know," here it is, "that I am fond of you." Remember, because Peter is dealing with that denial, he's afraid. He's afraid to latch on. He's starting to understand his issues and his struggles. Peter would never boast that he wouldn't deny the Lord. He never boasts anymore that he would be the only one standing. Now he realizes that the enemy can come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord still raises up a standard. And just thinking about this, you know, Peter could have been just like Judas. Peter could have been driven by despair and all of these issues of struggling with denial, and he could have actually committed suicide. But if it had not been for God's grace upon his life, are anybody excited for God's grace that keeps us even when we made serious mistakes? We just can't say that we love Jesus, but we've got to put an effort into renewing our mind. Yes, it's not just enough to just listen over and over again, but we've got to make an effort to say, "God, I want to take this. I want to take this and use this information, this light that you're giving me." Even when we fail, the Lord still gives us a mandate. Here it is in the scripture, to feed his lambs. Yeah, feed his lamb. This is important. A lamb would actually be one that's 1 year of age or below. Now, this is critical, because Jesus is saying to Peter, "Now, I need you to feed those baby Christians. I need you to take care of them. I need you to nurture them, because you've gone through, you understand some of the pitfalls. You understand what ministry is all about." Lord, put this on my heart. It says, "True ministry causes you to grow in the Lord so you can help others." True ministry causes you to grow in the Lord so you can help others. What are you doing in your life? What am I doing in my life so that we can grow, we can renew our mind in the Lord, and we can help others? Dr. Otis Harrison of the Shallow Baptist Church, going on to see the Lord, he would often quote portions of this poem. It was by Charles Meigs. It says, "Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again, except to live for others. So when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, I'll praise you for the crown I've won, but praise you more than others." And then it goes to this refrain, this chorus, "Yes, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee, that I may live like these." Follow Jesus. This is the mandate. He's saying, in essence, "Peter, I need you to get past yourself. I need you to get past this mistake, this failure, and to embrace my grace and my mercy." I believe that's a word for some of you out there, that you need to embrace God's grace and mercy and get on with the ministry. Renew your mind. John 21:16. "He said to him again the second time." Can you put in the chat too? Very important. Second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Here's a point, and it'll kind of bridge from last Sunday. Repetition. Yes, repetition. God is a master at repetition, coming back over and over to us. Not that God's forgotten something, not that Jesus needed to ask it again for himself, but it's for us to be able to examine ourselves, to really look at. Sometimes I'm in conversations, and as I'm getting older, I'm asking people, could you say that in a different manner? Simply because that repetition helps me to get it. And in this process, Jesus does that. He comes back with pretty much the same thing, asking Simon, are you with me? Are you realizing what love is all about? Do you know that I am here to embrace you? You have an assignment to fulfill. But now as Peter is thinking deeply, he's motivated. He's becoming motivated, going, you know what? God, I can trust you. That there is still more ministry. And that's what it's all about. The enemy can come in so many times and hit us so hard and make us feel like we're not worthy. But I want you to know we can stand in the righteousness of the Lord. Peter is thinking back over these failures, but now there's a link that's being made because this mandate is being given to him, and God's grace and mercy is abundant. As he thinks about this, he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know I am fond of you. That process is getting closer, but still he's afraid. You ever been afraid to just step out because of your past failures, because of your issues, because of your struggles? If the Lord would actually come where you are right now, maybe in your living rooms or your break, and sit beside you and tap you on your shoulder and say, do you love me? How much do you love me? What would be your answer today? It would probably bring a little fear on the inside, because as we think back in our lives, we know that we have failed, that we have made mistakes, but I'm so glad for the grace and mercy of God. Jesus said to Peter, tend my sheep. Isn't that good? Peter, in essence, he said, I not only want you to take care of my lambs, but I want you to take care of those that are maturing in the faith. Saints of God, we are on mission. That's why this topic of renew our mind is so important, simply because God is saying there is more for us to do. In this season and time, people are so distracted and they're focusing on different things, but we've got to be on a mission to realize there are others that need to hear what we've gone through. There are others that we need to speak into their lives, because as iron sharpens iron, they need to be encouraged as well as us. But Jesus says, I need you to tend to them. Saints, tending to God's sheep can be tough. Any amens in the house? It can be tough because we open up our hearts and it takes time, but it's all worth it. We are a body of Christ, and we're required to pray. We're required to follow Jesus with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. God wants us to assist others that are around us. Look at John 21:17. As we follow Jesus, he said to him the third time, can you put in the chat 3? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? I want you, just as you're processing, I want you to think, if your name was there, if you substituted your name for Peter, that this is heavy here. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. This is critical. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Here's another point. Grief can be good. Yes, grief can be good. Can you put that in the chat? My quick type is out there. Grief can be good. Wherever you're sitting at, just say, grief can be good. This is tough because we don't like grief, right? We don't want to be sad. We don't want to go through any pain. But sometimes that grief and pain can work something deep on the inside. Just as Peter denied the Lord 3 times, now he has 3 times to confess him. Did you get that? He denied the Lord 3 times, and now he has 3 times to confess his love for the Lord. The Lord knows just what we need in our situation. friends, how many times have we all denied the Lord? How many times have we all gone astray? But aren't you glad for a God who reaches out in love? This grief can be good. 2 Corinthians 7:9 explains this. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. That's 7:10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. But he's saying, Peter this time, Lord, you know all things. That's what Peter confronts Jesus. You know all things. You know my heart. You know my issues. You know my struggle. You know what I'm going to do, the decisions. See, when he's gone through, when he's made these mistakes, Jesus already prophesied that Peter was going to do this. Now Peter is understanding how to trust him. Any amens out there? I'm telling you, without the Lord on our side, thank God for his mercies and kindness. Without the Lord guiding us and holding us, we would all fail. And even with his powerful Holy Spirit on the inside, so many times we can go astray. But aren't you glad for Jesus? Jesus, you know all things. Lord, you know. He says, feed my sheep. Because of Peter, you're learning this serious thing. You're learning how good I can be. I need you to tell others the good news. I need you to share with others the gospel. When you really love someone, you may not feel like doing something, but you reach out. Amen. You push yourself. You sacrifice. And Jesus has shown this over and over again. And he's saying to Peter, hey, come on, let's move on. I need you to really give 110%. I need you to enact your faith as you're renewing your mind. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. They weren't perfect, but by faith, by saying, God, I trust you, they get a good testimony. Anybody need a good testimony? Look at John 21:18. Follow Jesus. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. 21:19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Here's another point. All to Jesus. Yes, all to Jesus. We may never be called to die as a martyr like Peter. This is literally what Christ did. He drops this bombshell. You're going to have to die. You're going to be martyred. And I'm challenging you, because this is going to be tough. You're going to realize that you got to be close to me. You got to renew. You got to change the way you see things. You can't be afraid of people. You can't be afraid of the pressure of the enemy. You got to know that I'm more than enough in every situation. He said, but you're gonna have to die to the ways of the world. You're gonna have to die to your own mindset. And that's a word for us. I'm telling you, in this season and time, God is asking us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we're tempted to lose our cool and latch out to other people, we gotta follow Jesus. Any amen? Can you put in the chat, follow Jesus? When we find ourselves in tight situations where we want to throw in the towel, We got to follow Jesus. We got to decide, God, you are everything. We got to follow him. The more we renew our minds, the more we will be able to embrace this song by Justin W. Van Venter in 1896. He says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever lust and love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. And I'm telling you, when people sing that song, man, it is challenging. It's challenging. I was like, Lord, help me to surrender. In this chorus, it brings out, I said, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Are we willing to follow Jesus? Let's look at these final verses, John 21:20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. John 21:23. Then this saying went out amongst the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Here's our final point. Stay focused. Yes, stay focused. Man, Jesus has really ministered to Peter. Man, he's given his love and he's challenged Peter. Are you going to love me? Are you going to realize I need you to feed my lamb? I need you to tend to my sheep. I need you to step up. There's still ministry for you. But we so many times we can lose focus. We can lose focus on what God is speaking to us, and we get distracted by everybody else. Any amens out there? John is actually the one who leaned up against. It wasn't that Jesus loved John more. It was that John decided, you know what? I am going to lean into Jesus. And because I'm leaning to Jesus, Jesus will give you as much love as you want. I'm so glad that he encourages us to follow Jesus. Peter is processing the fact that Christ has told him that he's going to die. And so now he's like, oh my goodness, this is tough. And so when he looks to other folks and he's like, okay, what about John? You know, you've told me that I'm going to die. What about his calling? And what about his ministry? And that's where we make our mistake, when we're looking at everybody else instead of following Jesus. How many of us have tripped up because we were looking at everybody else instead of fulfilling what God had in our lives? Jesus was saying, if I allow John to live in this scripture, he says, what is that to you? I love it the way Jesus puts it. He said, Peter, come back, focus in on me. You need to follow me. Don't worry about what John is doing. Peter, just follow me. As I look at this wonderful picture of Jesus and Peter and the disciples, I realize that the only way that we can renew our mind is to grasp what happened at cross of Calvary. That's the only way that we've got to understand that the price has been paid for us. When Jesus went into that Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed those three times and he cried out to the Father, nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will be done. I'm telling you, that was a mandate, a call to follow Jesus. When he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot and he didn't fight back, when he was going down the Via Dolorosa and they put a crossbar on his back, but yet he carried it for it was a mandate to follow Jesus. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And yes, there's a cross for me. He goes to the cross of Calvary, where people are ridiculing him and spitting at him and saying, if you be the Christ, won't you bring yourself off the cross? But I'm so glad John 3:14 gives us a picture of what's going on in that cross. Follow Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There ought to be some saints that I know about that Jesus on the cross. He died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but he got up 3 days later with all power and all glory, so that we could step up and we could follow him and fulfill and renew our minds and do all that God has called us to do. There ought to be some saints that say, Lord, use me in this season. Use me in this time. Saints, I want you to know there are no excuses for not renewing our minds. I don't care what mistakes you made in the past. I don't care if you've gotten off of the right path. Get back on the right path and trust the Lord. Jesus has paid it all for us, and he wants us, as we're renewing our mind, to surrender all to him. This is a call for you. Wherever you find yourself at, God wants you to be used more and more for his glory. If he can use Peter after denying him three times, do you know in that picture, didn't talk about it, when Peter was denying him, Christ actually called eye contact. Peter looked at Christ at that denial, that whole part. Man, how bad did that make him feel? But in spite of that, Jesus comes back with this mandate. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Saints of God, he is speaking the same thing to us, to follow him. If you don't know Christ, I want today be your day. I want you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It says you will be saved. That's how relationship starts. That's how we learn how to follow him. To the saints today, your mandate has been given that we get closer to the Lord, that we renew our mind, and we be able to sing that song, I Surrender All. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for these scriptures today. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you that you are a loving God. And even when we've said in the past that we've loved you and made so many mistakes, you're still beckoning us to get close to you, to follow you. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that even now he is praying for us. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for this day that we can be used more in your service. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. He so completely then satisfies my soul. Now as I face life's dark, troubled, stormy sea, I wonder if he's satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say, I am satisfied with thee. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold. That I might stand unafraid, unmoved for thee. That you might be fully satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied it's sufficient for all man. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord truly satisfied with me? I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to the great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me.
I am so glad to just be back with you, Bianca and I, to partake in communion. This is such an important time. We have to examine ourselves. We're going to read a scripture and just talk about that. But even before we started today, I looked at Bianca. I was like, we good. And even though we have issues in our lives and we have struggle, we embrace the grace of God and His mercies. And I want you, whatever you're going through, we talked about Peter. You know what? The Lord is always there. And I want you to just ask God to forgive you and help you with your relationships. If there's someone you need to reach out to right now, send them a text. Give them a call. You can pause and come back and take communion. So go ahead and get those articles, bread and juice, whatever you have around the house so that we can just go in the presence of the Lord. So I'm going to ask Bianca to go ahead and pray for our bread and our juice, and then we're going to read the scripture and we're going to get right into communion. Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the bread that you have given us, Lord, which represents his body. And we thank you for the juice that you have given us, which represents his blood, Lord. And we thank you for that sacrifice that washed our sins away and allowed us to be in right relationship with you. We praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want you to go to a scripture that we often talk and quote from, 1 Corinthians 11:23. Just kind of follow along. Get your device or your Bibles and just kind of read it with me so that you can just meditate on it. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat that bread and drink that cup, you do it as we think about remembering him. And so today, let's remember him and all that he's doing in our lives. But that next part, it says, but as often as you eat this, you're doing it as you proclaim what he did on Calvary for us. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats, this is important, look at this, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who does this, drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and here it is, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Those are heavy scriptures. And again, examine yourselves. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That is a faithful saying. Give it to the Lord. As we grab those articles, as we're thinking about Christ, let's go to that upper room. It is that Passover right before his crucifixion. He's up there and the disciples are just kind of caught up within themselves as usual. And he picks up the bread and he says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you." And as we think about that, I want you to break your bread with me, whatever article you have. And as often as we eat it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. At the same time, he has a goblet that would be shared amongst them often at the table and lifts it up. And this is the heaviest part in our Bible study on Thursdays. We've been talking about the blood. He lifts his eyes. He says, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together." What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes us white as snow. Oh, precious is the blood of Jesus and all that he's done for us. I pray as you continue through your day and your week, that you not forget the sacrifice that Christ has made for us, that we not take for granted all that he's doing in our lives, and again, that we follow Jesus. Until we meet again, you be blessed.